Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Run From Zero. We are on episode 30. Can you believe that we've made it to 30 episodes? It's pretty awesome. We are finishing up our Clarity series this week with Pastor Todd's preaching. If you have not listened to it, please go and find it right now. The same place you found this, YouTube, any of your podcatchers, anything like that, you'll be able to find this sermon. We get pretty deep into it, so it's going to be something you're going to want to dive into. The Clarity series has been about taking biblical terms that are used a lot and thrown around in Christian circles, but we may not get very deep into and have a great understanding of. So I think it's really important that you go and check it out, because this week we're talking about sanctification, which is a big word, has a lot of application to Christians, and it gets confused with a few other words, another word that we talked about, holiness. And so I think it's really important you go check that out. Pastor Todd does a great job of diving into it, and I think that we are probably going to add some clarity to it in this discussion as well. So go find that. Thanks for joining us today, and let's get into it. Gentlemen, welcome to episode 30 of Run From Zero. Can you believe that we've gotten through 30 episodes already?
We're really running from zero. Great job.
Yeah, we're running to 30 at least at this point.
You know, 30 yards. Here we go.
30 yards. I feel like each one of these episodes is more than a yard.
Slowly but surely we're getting there.
Sure, it's consistency, right?
Yeah. So this week we talked about, we're still in our Clarity series here. We just finished it up. Todd did a great job with the last week here. We talked about sanctification. And with that, I just had it in my head. I just want to know from you guys, what was the first moment in your life where you truly realized, I'm an adult? Where did it like have that like initial moment where it really sunk in?
I know for me, it was... because I kind of was like, you know, high school, right into college. And so you're not ever really, for me, it was never living on your own. Like I always had roommates, always had something. And then got married. And so when we moved out here, August, and we were renting our own place, I was like, I'm on my own now. Like my parents are 10 hours away and it's just Tina and I. That's when it hit me. I'm like, I'm an adult.
You were already married when that clicked for you?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Partly because it was college and then got married that summer. And so then it was like, but it just felt like, okay, I'm still moving and like kind of nothing has settled down at all. And then it just like hit me. I was like, we are moving to a new place. We are here now. We've moved in. We have our own apartment. I'm married. Which do some things before that you make you feel like you're an adult. But that was when it was like, I've got a job, married, like okay.
Was it like a weight that kind of settled on you? Like,
yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I felt a little bit even when we were like interviewing for the job, because I was like, and then making the decision, we're doing this, because I'm like, okay, I'm now making a decision that not only affects me, but my wife here, who's also, we are moving to a place we know nobody. Mm-hmm. Okay, these are big, weighty decisions.
Yeah. Was that here to wrap it, or was that, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was,
So it was like, you know, 22, 23, where I was like just fresh out of college. Yeah. And then that August, I'm like, okay, here it starts. Let's go. Yeah. And so, I will tell you, I got married the month before. So all of that was like, boom. Yeah. It was the summer of you are now an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like I have a good answer. I feel like I could talk about when I joined the military. I was, you know, 22. Mm. So in basic training terms, you're ancient. And so everyone looked at me like I was an adult and asked me all the questions. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
You also have the build of somebody like that. It just inspires confidence in people. Like,
I don't know. It's usually misplaced.
So. I'm not saying it's well placed. I'm
actually
just saying
Levi at 22 was the scrawniest guy you'd ever meet.
Like, you're right. No, you're absolutely right.
Sure. I believe lighter. That. Look at those shoulders. There's no way. Oh, that's funny.
There's some military stuff. I feel like there was actually a point later on in my adult life where I wouldn't say it was like the first time I felt like an adult, but when I think I was 30 and I went to the, there was a Wild at Heart retreat, and it hit me like the second day. I'm like, there are other men in this world that are on fire for God. Oh my gosh. I have to make sure that other people don't get to 30 without knowing one.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was just like, that was when a purpose hit. That's when like an adult purpose hit me. And I was like, all right, I got to move forward for something, but yeah. Feeling like an adult, man, I don't know if I have a good answer for that.
So
I'm still a child.
Yeah. So I was hit, and this is not a fun story in particular here, but I was hit by a moment that really made it sink in that how I viewed myself is not always going to be how I'm viewed by the outside world. Mm-hmm. I had just finished my first year of college and I was back home and I saw a news story about a guy that I went to youth group with who was like a year younger than me, who just gotten arrested. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, 18-year-old Rapid City man arrested for blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yeah.
And it just hit me. I'm like, I'm older than that guy. And if I did something wrong, I'm really accountable here, right? I'm viewed in a different way from the outside than I necessarily see myself at. So like, even though I don't always feel like, oh, I'm a man, I'm an adult, I've arrived. That's the standard I am held to, even though it's not what I see in myself. And so that was a big wake up call for like these people that I was around with, my peer group. We were all held to a standard because we'd reached a certain, outside perception. Because if this had happened a year ago, it never would have been on the news, of course, because, you know, juvenile.
Right.
But it was just a moment of like, there's real accountability now to me. And that has just grown with each step of the way of my adult life is there's accountability. And like recently, my wife and I just had our first child. And thank you. And there were moments where we're, you know, in this medical situation and I'm having to advocate for my wife who's not able to in this particular moment. And then taking care of a baby with that and just all of this really made it crash down of like, this is real. Now I'm 35 now. This is not like, oh, I'm, you know, just feeling like an adult. That's not it. But those moments really crash down on you hard where it's like, this is real life and this is life and death and this is heavy. And it often in my life has been outside forces that have made me reckon with who I am versus how I see myself. And so that was kind of what it was for me. And I think that that's an interesting way to transition into our topic today is sanctification. So Todd, can you give us like a one sentence definition of sanctification and then maybe tell us like how it differs from holiness? Like, could they get lumped together a lot?
I think you could look at it as like sanctification is the process to us becoming holy. Holiness is the outcome, but sanctification is how God walks us to that destination. And so, and we can experience it and play. I love how you even kind of like, there's layers to adulthood. I think, God's going, the outcome's holiness. You're going to get there, but there's going to be layers you experience, like the spiritual adulthood of going, oh, I'm now learning, but there's a deeper layer to this. There's a deeper layer to this. Cause you're absolutely right. You feel different moments of like, ooh, this is a different layer of being an adult now because I'm a parent, or this is a different layer of an adult now because my kids are out of the house. Like it's just a different dynamic you start to feel. And so I think in this, I go, sanctification is those moments where God walks us through. It's like, hey, you're in your journey with your relationship with me, there's going to be these layers to it that help you begin to understand what I'm really, truly transforming in you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with that, there are traps that we get stuck in our own head of like, oh, I've arrived now.
Right.
And then something else happens or there's another moment where you're like, oh, maybe I'm not arrived. Maybe I haven't gotten there yet. You were saying earlier, I thought was really interesting. This is before we were starting to record, but I'll just maybe prompt you and you can share a little bit about it. But like your patience isn't tested until it's tested. Something like, what was that one?
Yeah, I was referencing something that John Wesley talks about. He says that no holiness, but social holiness. And it's kind of like the main argument that he'll use against your solo church at home versus being a part of a community and how the community can, you know, shape us in every way, from worshiping together and taking communion together and dealing with difficult people. And the thing that I wrote down that like I took from it was, it's easy to appear incredibly holy when there is no one close enough to irritate you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, if you don't have your patience tested, you're never going to realize that you're impatient.
Yeah.
Or, you know, where your weaknesses lie until someone can point them out to you by pressing on the buttons that you don't allow people to get close enough to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's another really great philosopher who has a similar thought to that. It's from Tyson, Michael. everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face, yeah. Right? You know, that's the same kind of thing there. John Wesley, Mike Tyson, exactly. You know, same kind of
same,
levels.
Same. I think he had a face sure. tattoo also, yeah, right. Probably had a tiger.
Yeah, for sure. So Todd, what didn't make the sermon this week?
There was a passage that didn't make it that I think is, I think, healthy to kind of bring into this conversation. 1 Corinthians 13, kind of known as the love chapter, known as shared a lot at weddings. But once you get through that, and it finishes with that verse 8, love never fails. We usually typically stop there. But I want to read the rest of this because I think it helps kind of put into even the holiness conversation, but also then Paul brings in this, hey, maturing in sanctification conversation. So here's what it says, verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled, and where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, that's kind of that reference to when holiness is fully there, what is in part disappears. And sometimes it's hard language, but what it's saying is like, we prophesy in part because we live in a broken world. We don't fully know how all of this is going to play out. But God gives us some moments where we begin to understand things. In heaven, we won't need prophecy. If you think about it, like all of that will be there. We won't need to necessarily speak in tongues because we've got the ability to talk and navigate it all because God is right there, because that's the completing part of this. So even think about like faith and all this, we won't need that in heaven because there's no obstacle in the way of us being able to experience God. So that's what Paul's saying. So and the part will disappear. So when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so I think in this, as we have this conversation, I feel like as you're walking through sanctification, part of this is God is to like, love was the thing that carries you through it. Mm-hmm. Just like a good parent-kid relationship, it's love that carries you through that relationship. And kid is healthy going into adulthood knowing, man, I've got parents who love me and have taught me and are prepared me for this. Mm-hmm. God is doing the same thing with us. So I just think that scripture just fully embraces the full, like, hey, yep, completeness, that holiness, that goal that God has for us, but also going like, yep, you're going to have a process of getting there, learning to even see, you know, you're a child, now you're becoming an adult, but then also kind of that reflection in the mirror to being able to go, now I get to see him face to face. So I just thought it was a beautiful passage to be able to kind of take on, like you see scripture over and over again, kind of alluding to this sanctification process and holiness conversation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Another part of it, and this was just an illustration that didn't make it that I thought was kind of helpful to think about just as you're walking through sanctification, because it's kind of like, how do I know if I'm in it? Like, yeah. Is this the moment? Is this the milestone? Is this all those kind of things? And I think just like all of us have different relationship with food and how we diet and how we this. And I was reading a book, just kind of learning this guy who, I mean, he does it professionally. He's training people. He studies it and is just kind of like, how do we help people navigate our relationship with food? Because sometimes we're going, he's like, I'm not a big diet person. I don't think it's as beneficial or as healthy as you think. I think the best thing is looking at how many calories are you eating? And so he'll have people come up to him and say, man, I don't know if I could do that diet. And he's like, you don't have to. What if I want to eat pizza all the time? That's fine. Eat pizza. Here's the issue you're going to run into. You're going to run out of calories really fast. And so
I think the movie, Super Size Me really kind of impacted how we view food, because it was a misnomer of right. like this guy overate
right
for 30 days right. And that was the thing, is he overate calories. There are plenty of studies where people are like, well, I'm going to eat nothing but McDonald's for 30 days, but I'm going to stick to a calorie count. And they've lost weight and become healthier. That's eventually, long term, you're probably going to want something else without all the fat and all the stuff like that. Sure. But in the short term, it's all about calories.
Well, and this is the thing. He's like, you're learning how to rethink the indulgence you have with food. Mm-hmm. Like, because then after a time, he's like, okay, you're going to go, man, I've run out of calories. I hate all the pizza I can have. Yeah. He's like, you're going to have to eat more, but you're going to have to change. I'm still hungry. Yeah. You're going to have to eat something that has less calories or that's healthier for you. And so then you start to redefine that relationship with food. And so that's the part I go, I think that's what God does. He's like, okay, so here's the line. I want you to know you are my child. That does not change. Mm. We are walking this through. But as we walk through this, there's going to be things that are like, hey, you may want to think about doing this differently because it's not working, is it?
Yeah.
And so, and then he just kind of walks you through this process. And I think he's just a very gentle coach. I just love that guy's approach. He's like, you can, and God does the same thing. Yeah. You can do what you want to do, but I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get stuck at some point. Yeah. And I want to sanctify those areas of your life and help you realize the fruits of the Spirit, these things that are very valuable in your life. We will get there, but we have to start with, go back to even that first Corinthians. Love is the thing that will carry us through this and learning to have the relationship, because you're going to have to trust me and you're going to have to come in. I'd like to do it my way. And then eventually you go, okay, my way is not working. And God's going, yep, that's what we're repairing. It's okay. Hand that over to me. I've already reconciled that through what my son did, but I want you to learn my way over your way.
Yeah.
So I just think that illustration, I was like, oh, that's powerful to think about. Because we like to solve, it's like, okay, if I just do this diet, if I just only, if it's all meats, and then if it's just no sugar, and then but yet none of that is actually playing out the way it should.
Yeah, there's many people who will get on those diets that are super happy about the diet they're on because everyone's lost all this weight, but then they will overconsume the calories or something like that. And the funny thing about the Super Size Me guy is he could have lost weight while he was doing it, but at the end of the 30 days, all his health markers were out of whack. He had put on this weight like it was this big thing. But then years later, we come to find out, well, during that time, he was a raging alcoholic and consuming like 1,000 calories of alcohol every single night. And I'm like, that probably had an effect on that too. Sure. Yep. So not to say McDonald's is the right way to do it.
No, but it's one of those, it's more about our self-control and how we approach those things.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So in the sanctification conversation, it could be very easily turned into legalism. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, hey, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do that? And that's the problem with the diet example. It's like, okay, did I follow all the rules? Mm-hmm. And he's like, those things are important, but we are retraining you how to navigate your relationship with food. And God goes to say, I want you to pray. I want you to read about it, but I want to retrain you on why these disciplines matter and why you even need them in your life.
Yeah. And I think that fits perfectly in your illustration of spiritual child, spiritual teenager, spiritual adult. When we're a child, everything is just big and wondrous and out there. And everything's great. Like, you look at McDonald's and it's like, oh, it's red and yellow and there's a play place and it's wonderful. There's Happy Meals. Oh, everything is great, right? And then as a teenager, it starts to be so restrictive and really—
You start asking questions.
Right. If you've spent any time around teenagers, everything gets really black and white with teenagers, right? Everything is either good or bad. It's black or white, one way or the other. Everything is very binary, right? And then as you get into adulthood, there's nuance, right? And you learn that in your spiritual life as well. It's like— Yes, these things are good and bad, and there are good and bad. There's evil, of course, but there's nuance that we just can't see until we've gone through this and grown. And that's the same way as we approach food, as we approach relationships, as we approach everything in our lives, is we don't have that ability for nuance until we become adults. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in our spiritual walk, because you can be a 60-year-old spiritual child, and you can be a 14-year-old spiritual adult. It's a lot harder to be the 14-year-old spiritual adult, but it's possible. It's more about what God's doing in you, right? Like you mentioned that it's God that really does this, and just how open we are to it.
Well, think about the disciples, they could not understand the nuances of what Jesus was trying to teach. Like, no, I have to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. No, this is black and white to me. You stay alive. Yeah. We're good.
Yeah.
And I go, oh yeah, that's a very teenager thing to do. We all would have done it. Like we would have been, because God's going on. It's such a, like, you don't understand the spiritual dynamics of this. Mm-hmm. Just like an adult would go, you do not understand the consequences, the understanding, and how there's gray. And Jesus is like, no, I have to. But then the Holy Spirit fills them and you can see like, okay, now we're navigating these nuances and learning to lead from like, no, his death and resurrection changed everything.
Yeah. And so you referenced specifically the Pentecost moment really being a catalyzing moment for a lot of, or for the disciples, right? What do you say to somebody who hasn't had that big moment in their lives? Like, do we have to have a Pentecost moment? Does it have to be a big dramatic, like falling at, like the Holy Spirit?
So if I don't have a flame over my head, does that mean?
Right. What do you say to somebody like who's been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, but doesn't have a moment that they can point to that is like their Pentecost?
Yeah. I think I would say one, pray for it. Because I do believe there is a moment, I call it like the second work of grace, to where you have the first one where it's, you begin that relationship with Jesus. But there is something that I believe he starts to transform your heart in a way to where it is like you just see it, your passion and you begin to transform in a profound way. Partly because I've been discipling some guys and I've seen it. Like they were in church, they went, they did the thing. They're like, yep, got it. Like, that's good. But it wasn't changing them. Mm. Like into the sense that what I would say I see now. And so there becomes this moment to where like the status quo of your relationship with God is just not, you're going to hit this wall where you're like, why is this not going anywhere? Or why is this not better? Or maybe it's good, I guess, where it's at. I'm okay with that. Versus then you hit this one and like, I see it in some of these guys, like they're like, man, I'm hungry for the word of God. I've never used to read my Bible like this. I've never had prayer. And so it almost goes back to that first love, but now it's even on a stronger dynamic. I think of couples sometimes that, you know, when they're in that honeymoon phase, when they first get married, and it's powerful and it's crazy, but they can have that again. Sometimes, especially when they've gone through just a tough, difficult season of life, and they can really feel like, man, I feel like our marriage has gotten even stronger and it's changed the whole dynamic of how I see. I think of even Dean and I marriage, like we had one of those moments. And so that's the part that I go, I think God does something. It's that, that's a massive milestone. And to me, I'd go, it's the restoration of the image of God in you. To where you actually go, I actually am bearing that image, not just, I don't even really know what that means, but I'm just trying to do whatever God says. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so that's why to me, the example of Pentecost goes, yeah, the whole thing's happening. That gets a little weird. Like, you're not going to hear all, maybe you will, wind blowing all of a sudden, you can speak in tongues. But there will be this moment to where you go, wait, something's changed in me and God has restored something in me that goes beyond just salvation. It is, I am truly want to live for him more than I ever have. And so that's, and how that looks can be different for everyone, but it is kind of like, it can feel like an altar call moment. It can be you're sitting at your house and you just, hey, what has been okay in my life is not okay anymore.
Yeah.
And I need this. So I love that question. Cause I think some people can be like, well, how do I have Pentecost in my life? Yeah. And you're like, well, it may not look the same, but I do believe it's happening. And you can see in another example, especially I think Old Testament gives us a little bit like Moses had, like burning bush moment. Mm-hmm. And you just never know when those moments are going to pop up that it's going, hey, this is pushing you beyond maybe what you even think your relationship with God should be.
Yeah. Levi, you talked a little bit about maybe your Pentecost moment with being at the conference or the retreat and seeing the, what would you say really changed within you during that moment?
I think it was just more of it was a realization of like, I knew I had been called into ministry. Like I have a whole story there That's a different Pentecost moment if we want to get into that. But during that retreat, it was like I hadn't realized something that my life had been missing. And like, not to shame any men that were in my life before, I'm sure that there were men in my life that were on fire for God, but I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And or outside of pastors, at least, you know. And so when it happened in my life was like, oh, hey, this isn't just, you know, a woman's game. And I don't want that mm-hmm. to sound derogatory at all. But like growing up, it felt like going to church was, you know, something your mom took you to and your grandmother took you to. And I have some awesome faith journeys from them. But like knowing a man to lead me into church and like leading his family into church and being on fire for God outside of Sunday morning was completely foreign to me. So seeing that of having the switch flip of, hey, I had a couple ticking moments of like, I need to go into ministry. I need to do this. I've been pulled this way for years. Someone described their reference about being pulled into ministry in that scene in the old King Kong where he grabs the lady and she's kicking and screaming and trying to scream and run away. And he's just like, no, I got you. And I'm like, that's what I felt like God did to me. He's like, ah, we're done. You need to give up. Like, come with me now. And that whole moment, I can't describe what I felt, but it was just knowing that I had, oh, hey, this is some sort of purpose, you know, and realizing I don't want this to happen to other people. And, you know, being pushed through that through my life is going to change how I look at those moments and how I look at those people. So I know like God will put you through different things and put you through different seasons of life so you can help people out later. Mm-hmm. Like a, you know, the, what was the thing that I was talking about earlier. I like my Lord of the Rings references, mm-hmm. so bear with me here. But Bilbo, he's talking to Frodo about a poem he wrote about Aragorn, and he says, "The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost." And so like when you are growing in that maturity and your roots are growing deeper in Christ, they're going to be less affected by the new winter that comes. And it's like a good Christian and like someone who's deep in spiritual maturity is not someone who's never experienced a winter in their life. And if there's someone who hasn't experienced a winter in their life, when that winter hits, it will either uproot them and they will need help. We talked about community earlier. We've got to be replanted sometimes. Or they'll, you know, they fall under their own weight or they freeze to death. And it's like, you have to grow your roots deep because winter will be here. So
there's not a perfect system to it. I know that's, no. I mean, that's what people want to hear. Like, cause I mean, some of it, the obvious answer could be like, well, when you get baptized, I mean, that's you dying to yourself, coming out of the water. And you're like, okay, I'm ready to live the sanctification out and go after holiness. And I think God marks us in that moment, but there's also moments to where you just never know when that second work of grace is really going to hit home for you. But I would go, challenging part would be like, here's the thing. Are you asking for it? Or do you even know it could happen? Do you even know you're lacking something? And so that's the part I like. You're like, you didn't know until you knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the part I go, no, that's the conversation with this. You don't know what you don't know until you go, oh. And I go back to the teenagers have the same moment. You're like, oh, I now see why my parents were saying this. I now see why they're doing and why this is important. I think God goes, so picture that on like the highest level you could ever think of from a spiritual standpoint to where God's going, see, this is what I'm trying to coach you in. But it's got to start with a heart that's going, are you willing to walk through this? Because God can give you all the wisdom, can give you all that and work to transform your life. But you've also got to take it in, receive it, and respond to it.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that can be related to using your turn signal.
What do you mean?
Like you're talking about teaching your oldest how to drive and teaching them how to use a turn signal and, you know, like... Yeah. Like let other people know what's going on the road. And sometimes it might not click and you'll see them not using their turn signal and be like, why are you like this? And then you'll have a BMW cut them off one day and they'll be like, that's why I use my turn signal. Learning from others.
So in this message, imagine that you're talking to somebody who has tried these things. Yeah. And is it the point where they're giving up, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't felt the sanctification happening. They haven't felt it take hold, right? They've been struggling. And it's just, they're at the end of the rope. Yeah. And I feel like maybe that they're gone, you know, too far gone. Yeah. What do you think is the smallest first step somebody can take in the right direction?
It's tough because I know people who are there. They're convinced almost it's not for them. Or it will never happen for them. And they pray for it and they want it. And they're like, God, why can't you do it? Why can't you fix this, do that, those kind of things. And I wonder sometimes it's less about them wanting to go after sanctification process versus, can you just fix this? Can you fix this one thing and then I'm good? And so it's almost like this, how about we make a transaction, God? How about you do this and I'll walk through this? But if you're not going to do this, I'm out.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like they turn away and like, I never want to be with God again. It's just, that's the barrier that they've put in the way of that. And so part of me is when I kind of alluded to like, hey, we give up, man, there are a lot of layers to why we would give up.
Yeah.
And so that's the part, some of it is, what if God is doing the transformation in you? But you don't believe it or want to see it.
Yeah.
Now, some of it, it's going to be stuck. Like, God's like, well, I am transforming you. I made it possible for you to hit that level. Yeah. But you're choosing not to embrace it or go after it. And so some of the battle will be, Satan would love to convince you that sanctification isn't for you.
Yeah.
That it's just not possible. You're too screwed up. Mm-hmm. You've done things wrong. God doesn't want to do it for you. Those are the lies he will tell you.
Yeah.
So this turns into a faith conversation of going, do you actually believe that God wants to do this? And you're going to have scriptures that just like, he's going to finish the work that he began in you. Mm. Like that is a promise from the Lord. Now, if it doesn't go the way you want it to, does that mean it's not finished? Where God's going, I've finished. I just want you to be able to see it and understand it and grow in it. And so that's part of the reason I would say people give up is because Satan has put up a strong wall that's gotten in the way of them being able to take those steps down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
then it becomes at some point you got to, God, forgive me.
Yeah.
I confess it. I see that wall now. Mm-hmm. Help me knock it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So God is doing the work of sanctification in us, right? And yet we also have responsibilities here.
This is the toughest part of it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how does this work?
How do you help people thread that needle of like not being too passive to just, God's doing this. I don't have anything to do versus I have to do everything on my own. This is all me. How do you thread that needle?
I mean, this has been an ongoing, like, where does God's sovereignty take over and where does our free will come into play? And so God's sovereignty is he wants to see every human being he's ever made reach holiness. And that is something he wants to do. That's what he's created. And so, and he will lead many people there. But there's also, the dynamic there, he's like, you all have the ability to choose this or not choose this. And for those who don't choose this, here's the path for you. And so, so there is a part that I think it comes down to, as God shows that sovereignty to you, shows the truth, shows the holiness, the question becomes is, will you respond to it? And that's been since the beginning of all of this. That's how God created it, is will you respond? Because he did not create robots. He's going, will you respond to it? And it's not just a one-time response. I actually think when it comes to holiness, it's not like you've been, now I'm just good and I make all these perfect decisions. More actually is learning, like, you shorten the time frame of when you recognize, oh, I may be off on that. I need to seek forgiveness, confess. And now I'm like, because you look at David's life, I would say, okay, known as a man after God's own heart. That's mm-hmm. pretty far in the sanctification process. Like yeah. you're doing pretty good, but it doesn't mean you didn't mess things up
for sure.
And so, and then it becomes, but he was quick to go, God, forgive me. Mm-hmm. He would respond quickly to what the Lord was doing in his yeah. life versus you see other kings like Saul and Solomon, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They just kind of let the same pride or the same insecurities keep guiding and leading their lives.
Can I bring it right back to something he said? It's not a one-time thing.
It's
right?
not.
God, yeah. Jesus tells us.
Salvation, you got to start it.
Yes, yep.
But then after that.
Yeah. Jesus tells us, pick up your cross daily. Now, when Jesus picked up his cross and carried it, he knew where he was going.
Right.
We're told to pick up our cross, and we don't always know where we're going
right.
with that.
Sorry, I just had this thought. I think sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I'm just getting lighter. I like it. And he's like, dude, yeah. half of it fell off yeah. back there. Go right. pick the rest of yeah. it back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then it's like, oh, okay, sorry. I got a little confident. And yeah. so, and that's, and those are things that I just think, yeah, like that's, it is this daily work, almost a daily grind of being able, but it's a good dynamic where you're working on this. But it's, can we fix it? No. And I think that's the toughest part that we have. And so I go, okay, if I do this, it should fix these things in my life. And I go, maybe. But actually what it's fixing is the internal issue that you have with these things. Like mm-hmm. you may have an idol in one of them, or you may have this, your motivation behind all these things are not, it's, but I mean, we allude to like, yeah, it comes down to your time, your talent, your treasure. Mm-hmm. But all the guy goes, well, what's your heart in all those things too? Why are you being generous? Why are you serving? Why are you giving? I want to heal that in you, because if I've got the deep connection as to why, well, then the conviction stays there versus I'm just doing this because God told me.
Yeah.
Like every parent goes, you should do this, but at what point will it become something that matters to you?
Yeah.
And yeah. so that's where I think God is doing the deeper layers to all of this. That's why it's an ongoing process. I even love what, like, if you got now, sometimes this wording can get very confusing. I grew up, you know, being part of the Wesleyan Church, and then this denomination has kind of put some words around sanctification to kind of help the process that sometimes we're working through. And John Wesley kind of articulated this early, but it starts with, like, one, you got the prevenient grace, which is this is the grace God gives all of us to be able to come to him and even walk through this process. Mm-hmm. And then that leads to the initial sanctification, which is kind of what we would describe as that moment of being saved. You start believing, you've got this incredible grace that God's given you, and you're beginning this journey towards sanctification. And then they call it progressive sanctification, where you're growing and you're now, this next one is the one usually that gets everybody hung up on, and they call it entire sanctification. Mm-hmm. And so that sounds like, well, it sounds like I'm done. And it's like, well, no, you're not. But you've hit this spot to where I go back to the guys I've been discipling. There has been a change. Holiness is now in them. The Holy Spirit is in them and working through them. They've reached a pretty big milestone along the way. So that's where I struggle. I'm like, entire sanctification, it's a confusing word, but I understand what they're trying to say in that moment, to where there is a change in you, to where you're not willfully going, I know that's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Right.
Like, yeah. okay, there's a maturity there. And there's so many different layers to that. I've heard even analogies of like, you've actually gone through, like, let's say a house represents your life and you've got all these different rooms. God's the one that created the whole house. So then God comes into the house and you're like, hey, God, let me show you this. And he's like, well, what about those rooms? I know I created it. And he's like, no, we're not going to show those rooms. But you get to a point in time where it'd be like, you get the whole house.
Yeah.
You go look at them. You go tell me how they should run. They should. So there's just a lot of these analogies. But then the final part of it, so you got, okay, perennial grace, initial sanctification, progression in time. And then you're still even, you know, back to some people argue like you're still in progressive a little bit. You're still working through that to the final part of glorification. And so that kind of gives it maybe stages, but sometimes it's dangerous in that because then you're like, well, I think I'm in this. And it's like, let God determine that for you. Mm-hmm. You just need to stay faithful to responding to him and let him do this work. It's humanity. We like to try to define it mm-hmm. and try to put it in its boxes
yeah.
so that we can go, okay, now my mind can understand it. Part of this, I think this will be God's going, My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Just be faithful in responding in this. And that to me, I was like, that's the bigger conversation. Like, I want us at the end of the day, application point being going like, are you growing in your holiness? Do you feel like you've become holier than you were last year? And that's a weird question because you're like, maybe. Well then, okay, sanctification, you should be. Hopefully God is still challenging you because I know he's not done. Mm-mm. And where are you being convicted? Where are you growing? And how quickly are you responding to that? Are you like, oh, that's good. And then it takes you 3 months to do anything with it. You know what I mean? And I go, we're all guilty there on some levels where God's going, okay, let's tweak this. Let's tweak that. So.
Yeah. It's definitely that holy surrender, not holy, like holy God, holy, like being fully and holy surrendered. Am I saying that the right word? Yeah. W holy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say W holy.
Yeah. The W holy.
No, the surrender is definitely the, it's like you're walking with fog in front of you and it's like you pick up your cross and you carry it daily. I like how you said, like, we don't know where we're going.
Right.
And again, back with Lord of the Rings references, Frodo, when he says, I will take the ring though I do not know the way. It's like, hey, we're not meant to understand everything God's doing. We're meant to say yes before we know the way forward. We're like, hey, you said this. All right, let's go. Mm-hmm. And you might not be happy about it and you might be kicking and screaming, but like, knowing that, hey, I am surrendered to your will. I'm surrendered to you. I'm going to be obedient to that. I'm going to put my yes on the altar before I know where I'm carrying my cross. Yeah. And it can definitely be a big milestone that I see it interesting that certain people will hit, right? And it's not like that entire sanctification is like, hey, you're done growing. No. It's like, no, that's incorrect.
I just think you've hit it was helpful as God was, but like, I think it's more think milestone.
Yeah.
It's not like a teenager learns to drive and like, hey, you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. But that's a huge milestone for them. That's you graduate. I think even graduating high school, none of us think we're done, but it's a huge step of accomplishing something. Mm-hmm. And so that's more what I would love for people to process. Cause there's just been so many theological arguments and kind of around entire sanctification. And so that's why I didn't even include it in my sermon. Cause I was like, it's too complicated.
Yeah, too much in the weeds.
Too much in the weeds. And go, this is the basic, like, for that person who's like, help me just try to basically understand this. Here's what God's trying to do in your life.
Yeah.
And you may hit some things along the way. I think that's why John Wesley was kind of like, here's some things I've hit along the way. And these are the words I would use to describe them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk cheese and crackers here. So if you haven't, I'll say this, or I've said this already in the intro, but if you haven't listened to this week's sermon, go back and do it.
Mm-hmm. You'll understand this illustration a lot better.
We don't need to go through the whole illustration here, but what is the season in your guys' life that you feel like you may have settled for those cheese and crackers, right? Without getting what God really had for you. Like, do you have any illustrations from your life where that was the case?
I don't know if we have time for every season of my life ever.
Yeah. I feel like what's crazy is like even putting the sermon together, I felt like I've just been walking through one even recently. More because that last, like I said, like I think I got very comfortable with where I was spiritually. Like going, man, I feel like I've really grown. I've gotten to a good place. And man, who I used to be, I'm not anymore. Like, this is pretty awesome. Like, and I hope I wouldn't say, but I wonder if I was being like, God was still challenging me. And I was like, I think we're good. I think I got that one. And so to be able to go, even maybe apologize, God, I'm sorry if I thought I'd reached something where we were going to hold steady for a while and not keeping that heart open, like, hey, where do I need to grow next?
Yeah,
I've gotten too comfortable in this. And so that's been good to be stretched. And sometimes I'll tell you, like, it came from a book I was reading, and not even a Christian book. Like, it was just like, oh, okay, I need to be stretched in this area. And God used it to be like, hey, this is where I want to take you. Oh, okay. Because it's things that I'm like, I don't like it. I'm very content being here and I had to work on being content because there was a part of my season before this where I was like, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And pushing the pace with God. And so now it's funny to be like, okay, the pendulum has now swung to the other side and being able to go, okay, Now I have to work on this part of it. So,
yeah. Oftentimes God wants us to walk with him and we're either running or standing still.
Correct. And, and I think success can do that too. You have success and you're like, okay, now what's the next thing? Let's go. Yeah, let's go, man. This felt so good. Let's keep going at that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you get those, I mean, think about physical, like you work out and you're like, okay, now I'm used to this. Like I need this, which isn't bad. But then you come to a point like God's going, hey, can we slow down again? And like, we don't need to sprint through life here, bud. Like you're going to miss some things along the way. And you did. Like there were some things that I wanted to coach you and like, hey, let's go back and reframe that, rethink that a little bit. And so I think it's very easy to settle for the cheese and crackers all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's like, at least it's food and it's decent.
Yeah.
So. I liked that the cheese and crackers was actually something that most people liked.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if you were like, I brought dog food to survive, I'd be like, man, I'd be scrounging in that boat to find a feast table and steal from them or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But cheese and crackers is pretty good. My my grandmother used to tell me something. So she had the entire New Testament memorized. Like, I don't exaggerate when I say that. Like, I would ask her about something. And she'd be like, oh, yeah, that verse. Think about it for a second. She'd be like, it says this. And I was like, okay. So as a young kid, hey, I thought that was impressive. But now more and more, I realize how much more impressive it was. But she'd read her Bible all the time. And at one point, little kid, I was like, hey, Grandma, why do you read your Bible every day if you know what it says? She was like, well, it always tells me something new. And I always have something to learn from it. And I was just like, you talk about the living and breathing word. But it's just like in my head. I'm like, she's eating a feast and she knows this, but to her, the feast that she has gotten to is now her cheese and crackers. And there's another one that she wants to get to be a better part of. And I'm like, as a young child, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Okay, Grandma. And I would leave. And now as an adult, I'm like, man, if she was still around and I could tell her like the impact that those things that she said to like an 8-year-old kid has on me now. I'm like, this is incredible.
That's good.
But
what a legacy there. That's awesome.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. If you want people to walk away with one thing supplemental to the message from this episode, what is it?
I think part of the reason the passion behind a lot of this sermon was because I feel like too many people are just stuck or they've settled for some kind of sanctification that really isn't what God would label his own sanctification. And so I'm good enough. I'm good in a good place. Or, and I can maybe, I mean, obviously I want those who do it like, I don't even know where to begin. Great. Like what, let's take that step of, but I think I would want everyone to experience what I've seen in my own life, but also what I've seen in other people's life, to where the Holy Spirit starts to lead and guide their lives. And so I would say we don't have a lot of that. And I go, I'm thankful we got the church that gives them the opportunity to, and God leading all of that. So it's not like it's hopeless. It's just, man, I just want something for them that I think would be so incredible for their lives. Be life-changing. It would change the whole dynamic of how they see it, how they parent, how they, like, think of all the areas God allows you to lead. Your job, everything. Like, the money he gives you, the time he gives you. You would just think through it differently, and there'd be so much peace of being able to go, man, God's leading me in this. I don't have to solve all of this on my own. I'm not alone. Like, all the things that we see wrong with our culture, God's going, I can heal that. I can sanctify that. And so that's, I think it's good for us. Like, part of sanctification is seeing God's heart break for where we're at. And then going, but man, he's good enough to fix it all. And so that's the part I'd go, I want people to be there.
God's just like Dulé Hill in Holes. I can fix that. I can fix that.
Yeah.
What a millennial reference that is.
No, I think the whole takeaway, like we talk about this podcast, like the run from zero. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if we could change like the logo to say like run, that's it. Just keep going. Just keep moving. Yeah. Because it's like
don't run too fast.
Not too fast. Sometimes
don't,
God wants
don't
you to
outkick your coverage, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Right. But it's like it's the continuous improvement, right? And it's the continuing to move forward no matter what and not getting comfortable, not stopping, mm-hmm. not being like, hey, I'm sanctified, I'm done.
Right.
And then the other thing, I said it at the end of the sermon. It was like, stop asking God to bless the version of your life that you refuse to place in his hands. And I mean that. I'm like, so many people are like, hey, I want to continue on my sanctification journey. I want to continue in my surrendered living. But I really want God to bless me with that woman as a wife. Mm-hmm. I really want God to bless me with that job. Yeah. I really want God to bless me in insert desire mm-hmm. of the flesh of whatever it is. Like so many people are asking God to bless their lives in ways that he doesn't have that as a plan. And instead of surrendering to him, it's like you were saying, making that transactional moment of saying, hey, I want this. If you can do this for me, then I'll do this. Or, hey, look, I'm reading my Bible more. Why am I not fixed?
Yeah.
You know, and not being surrendered to him, but continuing to improve, continuing to run from zero or from whatever you're at. Yeah. And then, you know, trying to be cognizant enough of understanding what direction God has planned for you and not the direction that you want. Because I will tell you that it's almost never my first choice. It's always the best choice for me, but I don't realize that until later.
Yep.
And sometimes a lot later.
But I think the beautiful part is over time, you get better at seeing God's choice in your life. You're like, oh, yeah, this is what I know he'd want to do. And I know it's the best for me.
Yeah,
but that takes walking through that. And learning mm-hmm. and unlearning your way of doing things. Cause you got years of going, this is how I've done it. And God's like, oh, what if we change that?
Yeah. And sometimes you're not going to realize you're going the wrong way. You're like, this is what God wants for me. This is his plan. And you're going to hit a spot where you're like, maybe I've been playing myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it said that when we pray to God, it's always best to pray to him with open hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we get really good at closing our hands and trying to dictate to God what we want and what we think is best. But it's always your way, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus modeled that for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my way, but yours. And that's Jesus, right? Yeah. I feel like that's a pretty good place to end today.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. Continue to run or walk. From zero, you know, whatever.
Just, don't be at zero. Whatever you need to do. If you're crawling from zero, fantastic.
Yeah. Just stay with God through that, right? He will set the pace. Just stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation that we were able to have today. I hope this added some clarity to what sanctification is and how God works in our lives over time. How it's not always a Pentecost moment, but sometimes it's a gradual and slow process. And just like a lot of other gradual and slow processes in our lives, we might not see the day-to-day results that we want, but over time, we'll see those. So thank you very much for joining us. If you have not turned on notifications for this podcast, make sure you find a way to do that on either YouTube or your podcatcher so that you don't miss any episodes of Run From Zero. And make sure that you are staying with God as he helps you move from that. If you are at zero right now, do whatever you can to move away from that. Run, crawl, walk, just like we said there at the end, run from zero. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.